Tonight I will continue the series of message about the Word of God. They started several weeks ago. First, we looked at how to build our life on the Bible, how to approach the Bible, reading the Word, meditating on it, memorizing it. Then we looked at why should we trust the Bible? Why is the Bible so important? And tonight, we're going to look at the power of the Word of God. We're going to look at how the Bible changes us, how the Bible changes me. And for that, I will read two verses. One is from John 6:63. John 6:63. The Word of God says the following. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. And then from Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God says, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. What I want for you to notice tonight is that the Word of God is alive. Okay? It's alive. It's living. It's active. The Bible is more than any other book in the world because it has the power to change, has the power to change our life. Just think about this. When God created this earth, what does the Bible say? God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. God said, let there be sun, stars. And what happened? There was the sun. There were stars in the heaven. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is life, is active. The universe was created through God's spoken word. And that's important to know. Not only God, the Word of God, has the power to create, it also has the power to get to the heart of issue. If we pay attention to the second verse I read, it says it's sharper than any double-edged sword, but more than that, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's not a sword. Have you ever seen a surgeon get in there in your body with a sword? No, it's like a scalpel, very delicate. It gets to the heart of the matter. The great preacher Moody said that the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge. Okay, and if we would have stopped after the first two messages, you know, how to approach the Bible or why should we trust the Bible, that's more knowledge. Tonight and to next Sunday night, it's more practical. It shows the power of the Word of God. And he said the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but it was given to change our lives. And that's the purpose of the Word of God. It was given to change our lives, not just to, you know something else, to have another book in the library. It was given to change our lives. And tonight, we're going to look at four ways that the Bible changes our lives. Four ways that the Word of God changes me and changes you. And the first thing we're going to look at, and if you have your outlines, and the first thing we're going to look at is that the Word of God recreates my life. That's the first line, number one. It recreates my life. It gives me that experience of being born again. It helps me begin anew. It's not just to turn a new leaf in your life. You start from zero again. You're born again. You have a new life. And if we look in James 1:18, the Word of God says, He chose to give us birth through the Word of truth. I cannot be saved without the Word of God. Where do we find the truth about salvation? In the Word of God. Where do we know what Jesus did for us? In the Word of God. Where do we know about His sacrifice? About how much God loves us? In the Word of God. Without the Word of God, there will be no salvation. We have to believe that God chose to share His Word in order for us to get salvation. If we look in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul tells Timothy, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. the scriptures that make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Okay. The last couple of years, I have read several books on how Muslims converted to Christianity, their personal testimony, and how they turned to Jesus. One way they turned to Jesus was that Jesus actually appeared in a dream to them. But the major way they turned to Jesus was by reading the Word of God. At first, they started reading it because they wanted to know the Word of God so they can attack it, so they can put it down. But as they were reading it, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God recreates your life. The Word of God changes you. As they were reading it, they turned to Christ. They understood that this is the truth. This is the way of salvation. And they turned to God. Because if we look in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." Again, the Word of God is living. It's alive. It works in our hearts. So the first thing that the Word of God does, it recreates my life. It starts that process of being born again. The second thing the Word of God changes in my life, it eradicates my guilt. It eradicates my guilt. And if we look in two verses, first in Ephesians 5:26, the Word of God says, "Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." Cleansing her. How did he cleanse the church? Through the word. And then Jesus tells the disciples in John 15:3, "You are already clean because of the word of God I have spoken to you." You're already clean, he tells the disciples, because of the word of God that I spoken to you. So if he had the power to say, "Let there be light," and there was light, he can say, "Let there be forgiveness," and you're going to be forgiven. Some of you might have known that I started my master's program in Christian school administration. And one of the professors in our Christian character formation class keeps on reminding us. I don't know, he felt through the spirit that some of the people in the class are not doing so well with this. He keeps on reminding us, once you have confessed your sins to God, and you trusted, had faith in his word, that he's going to forgive you. Because the word says in John 1:9, says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us for all unrighteousness." You cannot hold on to that sin. Once you are clean, once God says, "You are forgiven," you are forgiven. You cannot just, "Oh, what if he didn't forgive me 100%? What if I still feel guilty about it?" God said, "You are forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of all our sins." That's what the word of God says. And if you doubt that, you're doubting God. You cannot doubt God when you know his truth. Okay? Whatever he says is true. So the word of God has the power to eradicate, to get rid of all the guilt in our lives. So let there be forgiveness. That's what God says to you tonight. Let there be forgiveness. And don't live with that guilt anymore. Confess your sins. And God, who's faithful and just, will forgive your sins and purify you from all your unrighteousness. The third thing that the Word of God does, it activates my faith. The Word of God activates my faith. And the word from the Bible is from Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith is word activated. God has his promises in the word of God. God has his promises here. And if we don't read it, we don't know of God's promises. But has this ever happened to you? You read the Bible, you read a verse that you read maybe 100 times before, and all of a sudden it starts making sense to you. and you say, I can do this. Or God did this for me. I can have faith in that. That's faith activated by the word of God. Or how many times have you sat in this church and been convicted by a message heard from that pulpit and said, yes, I can do that. That's faith activated by the word of God. I remember a few years back, actually it was 2003, when I had my accident in Romania. I had my accident in Romania. We went head-on with another car. One of my friends was driving. I was visiting Romania. And when I got out of the car, my sister says that I was bleeding all over, from my forehead, from my nose, from my mouth. I was bleeding. But I said to her, don't worry, everything is going to be okay. And she said, now she tells me, how could you say that everything will be okay? You were bleeding all over. Why I was that? I had that faith? Why could I say that? Because at the moment we hit the other car, this verse came to my mind. De altă parte, știm că toate lucrurile lucrează împreună spre binele celor ce îl iubesc pe El. I knew it right away. This is God's will. This is going to be for His glory. He's going to protect me. So I had a peace. Even though I was bleeding, I had peace. I knew His promises were true. This is faith activated by the Word. Had I never read that verse, had I never memorized it, the people at Sunday school in Romania, they tortured us with memorizing these verses. I never understood why until I had to have my faith activated by the Word of God. When you go through hardships, when you go through trials and you come to church and for rugăciune de cauză in the morning, somebody reads from Jeremiah and says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Tell me this doesn't activate your faith. Okay, this is the word of God. It's powerful. It's going to activate your faith. And the last thing that I'm going to talk about tonight is that the Word of God stimulates our growth. The Word of God stimulates our growth. And for that, I will read for a couple of verses. The first one is from Acts 20:32. Acts 20:32. And the Word of God says the following. I commit you to God and to the Word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up. The word of God can build you up. But how is it going to build you up if you don't know it? And also, there's another important aspect here. It talks about an inheritance. What's an inheritance? An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family, something that is rightfully yours. Let's say your father is, I don't know, who's the richest man in the world? Carlos Slim from Mexico. Okay, he has 60-some billion dollars. He's your father. It happens to die. And you're going to inherit that. But you decide not to read the will. Oh, I don't care about that will that he left. Will that be a smart move or a dumb move on your side? Okay. I don't want to read that will. That's the same here. You're part of the family of Christ. You're part of the family of God. And this is His will. These are His promises to you. This is the Word of God that has the purpose of God for your life. How are you going to know it if you don't open it? How are you going to know it if you don't read it, if you don't memorize it, if you don't meditate upon it, how are you going to get your inheritance if you don't open the Bible? This is your inheritance. This is God's will. This is His purpose for your life. Open the Bible and read it. And part of our growing up, I want to read from 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It's a couple of verses that everybody knows. And it says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If we want to grow up, we need to be taught. The Word of God is useful for teaching. This teaching shows us the path that we need to follow, shows us the purpose that God has for our lives. Again, how are you going to know it if you don't open this? It's useful for rebuking. What happens if you fall? What happens if you stray from the path? This word will bring you back. This word will warn you. You have forgotten about God. You have fallen off the path. And it's useful for correcting. This word will bring you back. Okay, this is the way back. This is the way back to the path. And lastly, it will train you. It's useful for training. This is going to show how you're going to stay on the path to make sure that you don't need more rebuking. You don't need more correcting. This is the Word of God that stimulates your growth. You want to grow? Here it is. Just think about it. You parents, if your kid would be the same height, the same weight, the same mental capacity after 3 years, after 4 years, after 5 years, would you be worried? How do you think God feels when we at 30, at 40, at 50, we're still kids? We're still behaving like kids. Okay, it's time to grow up. And I'm telling you, teenagers, you're not too young. You have grown up in church. You know the Word of God. It's time to grow up. Let's not play games anymore. It's time to grow up. So in conclusion, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is alive. It's living. It can change you. It can recreate your life. Tonight, you can start anew. If you haven't had the experience of being born again, you can start anew, because the Word of God is that powerful. The Word of God will get rid of all that guilt in your life as long as you confess your sins. The Word of God will give you confidence, will activate your faith, okay? Will give you courage to walk daily with Him in this world. And lastly, the Word of God is going to help you grow up. It's going to lead to growth. So, what are you going to do? You're going to do what we said in the first message when we started preaching this series. Read the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Memorize it. Okay, talk to others about it. Ask questions. That's why we have pastors. That's why we have youth leaders. Ask for guidance. But remember, the Word of God is powerful. It's alive. You might not even need any of us. Just read it, and God will work in your life. Amen.